Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Oh, how do we not sing
not
tonight?
That Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Woo! Chris McMahon. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
What do you even say? My goodness. 888-808-1019. Let's go, Met fans. This is about you. Fleelman wants to make it about me calling them dead on June 3rd. It's not. What an unbelievable game. You know who it is. McMonagle here with you for 3 hours. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fleegs is back in his Mets jersey on the other side. And, I mean, one of the greatest games I've ever seen. And we could talk about whether or not it's the great. I don't know how it's not the greatest Met regular season game of all time. When you add in all the drama, all like literally a hurricane had to occur to make this happen. And MLB and their incompetence lucked into a great moment, forcing games, standalone games after the season has ended, a doubleheader, Mets Braves in a building that franchise and organization has continually failed, and against the team they have continually failed against. And to have that moment and to have that game, I mean, honestly, and I don't even want to mention the Yankees, but in my mind, besides like the two games in the 2001 World Series, like it's right up there as some of not just the best Met game I've ever seen, not even just the best Met regular season game I've ever seen. When you take into all the different elements that go in to just having the game be played, and then let alone have everything that happened really between the 8th and 9th inning. We're going to talk about this game and how crazy it was and what an impactful game and how much, obviously, with everything on the line, what it means for the team to then go in, make the postseason, and justify this amazing year. Because it did need to happen. I was saying it. You needed to get in. We'll see. I don't want to say the rest is gravy, because I think you feel good about this team. And you'll ultimately be disappointed if it ends with that being the culmination of it all. But this regular season, this great year from the first-year manager, we'll play some sound from Mendoza and what he's been able to do. Best record from the day I decided to call him dead on June 3rd. Whether it's OMG, all the stuff that everyone said a million times, this season needed that moment and needed to be playing later today to make us all enjoy it. And when you talk about all the different things that happen in a baseball game, this is why, in my mind, I love this sport so much, because there is no clock. You have to get all 27 outs, and at any moment, as much as, yes, I know, especially I hear it from other fathers and like kids now that I have sons playing baseball, well, you know, it's a little boring. They stand around the outfield. Yes, it's a game of anticipation. And it's a game of when the moment happens, it's as exciting as anything else. And this game brought you every single element. And it's just one of the great moments. And for a Met fan, I mean, watching this game against this team and for this group to come through after being completely shut down again by Schwellenbach, who has had a nice year, who's a solid pitcher, who's got good stuff, but to really have a couple of moments, and really it takes a broken baseball with a crazy spin on it to even give you the one rally you have in this game. And you start with McGill, who pitched relatively well in this game. He gives up a two-run shot. He gives up a solo shot, a couple of home runs. They go, you know, they roll with him. And it was fascinating to see how these two managers handled this game. But McGill starts the game, pitching relatively well, gives up the three runs, and the Mets' bats are completely dormant. I mean, they have, again, the one moment where Taylor gets the infield base hit after it rolled foul, rolled back in. He steals second base. He's moved over on the ground ball to short, and then obviously Bader is unable to come through. It's a humpback liner back to third base, and you're unable to score in that inning, and then they come back and score runs against you. I mean, it just felt like this was going to go the same way all Met Braves games go, and it was going to come down to, and we didn't know at the time you weren't even going to see Chris Sale. Not that you would have anyway if you won the game, but like you just the idea that it was going to come down to this second game was almost a fait accompli. And it was going to come down to beating a Braves team that didn't need the game and all the stuff we talked about forever. And then that eighth inning happened. And you started off with Taylor on that long at bat. I mean, a lot of things are going to get lost in this game. A lot. And I hope the Taylor at bat doesn't to start that rally. But so many things, when it ends the way it ends, and you go through the emotions of the entire game, so many things happen in this game that will get lost. But the Taylor double to start that eighth inning and knocking Schwellenbach out of the game was an enormous hit. Alvarez comes back with a first pitch double that scores Taylor. Lindor with the base hit up the middle. Iglesias, and then obviously the managing of this game where you get into Schnicker bringing in his closer to get outs in the eighth inning. I mean, it's that dynamic because even the Mets handled it exactly how we talked about handling it, right? When they get that, when they're down 3-0 and McGill has to come out of that game, they're not going to their top-end relievers. They're not trying to keep this game, you know, whatever they have to keep it at 3. They bring in Brazoban. They bring in some of the bottom of the relievers because they have to play for a game two. And it's different when you have the 3-0 lead. And now you know that in the back of his mind, he doesn't have, now we know this now, that you don't have your ace, you don't have your Cy Young Award winner able to go. He's not even going to pitch in the wild card. So that game was extremely important to the Braves to try and get that first one because they don't know what the second game is going to look like. And he brings in Iglesias. And what an at-bat by Iglesias, who this guy has been everything you could have possibly wanted for the Mets all year long, right? The OMG story. But not only that, he's hitting .340 since he's been a Met. He's got the highest batting average in all of baseball in that time period. He's been incredible. And for the first time, he looks a little bit, I don't know, nervous, but they mentioned on the broadcast, he swings at two sliders to fall behind 0-2. And then it's the, you could watch an intelligence of a veteran hitter who has complete confidence in himself right now, who's going probably better than he's ever gone in his career. And he takes a swing at a high inside fastball after the two sliders away, and he knows after that inside fastball that Iglesias is going back outside. And he's all over it. He rips the base hit the other way. And that really, for me, is what sets up the inning because now he's brought in his best reliever. Now you're going against the closer. If Iglesias strikes out there on another slider away or Iglesias pops one up and doesn't contribute to that inning, I don't know if the rally happens. That is one of the key at-bats for me from Iglesias, who's been everything for this team, who's been so imperative in what they do and the turnaround and to the point where you don't even mind losing Jeff McNeil, who's actually, you know, playing hot in the second half because of what Iglesias has given you. The leadership, the defense, the base running, hitting .340. He's ended the season now, what is it, a 20-21 game hitting streak? Like, the guy's been incredible, and that at-bat, to get that hit off of that closer with two strikes, I thought that was the key at-bat. Then Vientos hits the sacrifice fly, and then Nimmo, obviously, the enormous home run to break it open. And the Mets turn a 3-run deficit into a 6-3 lead. And from that moment on, like, let's be honest, Mets fans, that was it. They have exorcised the demons. They have come back. They were down 3-0. They were lifeless. They were dead. They were looking like the team that had played that game in Atlanta on Tuesday. They looked like the team that showed up for the series against Milwaukee. They looked like that lifeless group, and it was going to come down to whether or not the Braves actually won it in Game 2. And instead, this resilient group gets off the deck, gives you that sixth-run inning. Nimmo hits the home run, and Atlanta and Snitaker takes Iglesias out of the game, which obviously turns out to be an enormous key for this team. But it's the dynamic of everything, because typically you'd probably let your closer finish that game, at least finish that inning, and maybe you get runs and you could see if you could bring him out, much like Diaz. But because Snitaker knows he's got to win the next game, you manage completely different every element of this game. By the way they would have to manage the game, by the element of needing only a split, by the double, the hurricane gives you the two games after it all. Arizona's sitting there waiting, hoping one team can win both games. Like, it's in Atlanta. It's the Mets and Braves. Like, everything about it was just so damn interesting. And to, like, even moments like that where he has to bring out the closer and takes him out of the game, you know it could impact it later, but the manager isn't managing just for that game because there's another one that has to be played. The dichotomy of this whole thing was just crazy. But the Braves get out of the inning and they go to the bottom of the eighth. And he brings, obviously, when you have to go, when you bring in Maton there, who's now pitched in his third consecutive game, and he's been your better reliever. Now you have the lead. Clearly, you're going to your better guys. You're willing to risk it. You got to pitch to win that game. And he hits White with that inside fastball that I don't know if it was a swing or not, but there's another element where a guy who's been brought in for defense comes up. Maton throws it inside. It looks like it could have been a swing. Hits him in the forearm. They don't call a swing. It's not something you can review. He gets first base. Darnold gets the base hit, and then Mendy makes the decision to bring in Diaz in the eighth inning, which I agreed with. I think at that moment, now you're going balls to the wall to win that game. You have to secure that victory. And Diaz, since the blown save against the Diamondbacks, has been unbelievable. And you bring him in that moment. He gets Urshela to ground out the second, and then the Klenik at bat. And now this is one of those things, Jared Klenik, where he's traded for Diaz. He's been grown up in the farm system of the New York Mets. That trade has been worked out a million different ways, and who won it and who lost it and all the nonsense. And you got Darno up in that inning. Yeah, you got Klenik up in that inning. And for him to come in that moment, it's just more of the craziness of this game. And then he hits the ground ball to first base, and that's the moment for Pete Alonso. And that's what I thought in that moment. Now, Pete Alonso, whose bat has gone completely dormant here and still doesn't hit in the second game, has done nothing for the Mets for, you know, he had that one game right after the team meeting was announced and the Lindor injury was worse than we all thought it was. He had that one game where he broke out, drove in, what was it, 5 or 6 runs, had a big game, and since that moment has done absolutely nothing. And earlier in the game, he makes an unbelievable play on a poor throw from the pitcher to keep his foot on the base and make an incredible pick. He has been really good defensively. And in that moment, to save that inning, to make that play down the line, that was going to be the moment that you could turn and look to Pete Alonso and at least say, hey, you've done nothing for us offensively, but to come through defensively, where we have worried about, you know, talked about whether or not he's become a good first baseman, a bad first baseman, an average first baseman. You know, his ability to play the position comes into the contract when you talk about Olsen on the Braves and everyone else he's trying to compare himself to. And in that moment, he saves the game on a bullet down the line. And then to see Diaz not covering, because I guess apparently said in the postgame he thought it was foul. That moment, immediately. And this is coming from any baseball fan, whether it's a Yankee fan, a Met fan, a baseball fan, you know in that moment the Mets are in trouble. And for Diaz, and I want to talk a little bit more about this, but you could see it zapped out of him as well. That was the moment where he unraveled. He proceeds to walk Harris on 4 straight pitches, and then he gives up the double to Albies. And the Mets, the Rally Mets, who score 6th runs in the 8th inning, fall behind and blow it and give up 4 in the 9th against their closer. And this, my friends, is worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. Because now you've gone into it and you've got to go back out there. And if you lose this game, You have now lost this game, and you probably don't have Maton for game two. How could you possibly trust going back to Diaz? And you've done it again in that building and reinforced the idea that you can't beat the Braves no matter what you do. You can't win in that building no matter what you do. And you're about to lose a game and head into a must-win second game of a doubleheader with all of the pressure in the world on you. And not having your probable two best relievers. You want to throw Buto, who was being saved for this game? Fine. But it was about to be worst case scenario. Losing the game is one thing. Losing 3-0 and going meekly would have been one thing. Would have been tough. Would have been devastating. Would have been one thing. But to have Diaz, your closer, who you rely on, who's been great since that blown save in Arizona, your guy, bring him in the eighth inning, to have him unravel like that, blow the game, that only reinforces you can't beat the Braves, and it puts you in a position for game two where you don't know the back of the bullpen. It's the one scenario that would have scared me heading into that second game. And instead, they do it again. I mean, and what's going to get lost? I mentioned things get lost into this game. Marte is going to get lost in this game. Marte pinch hits, obviously, in the eighth inning. Comes through with the base hit, pinch hits for Bader. Hits the ball in between the short and third baseman for the base hit. Part of that inning, a huge hit. Definitely a big hit. But then again in the ninth, down in the count, to take that slider and hit it up the middle to give Lindor an opportunity is an enormous hit. Because Lindor's home run only ties the game unless there's someone on base. Marte in this game is going to be an unsung hero. Iglesias is going to be an unsung hero. Those are enormous base hits. And then what can you say about Lindor? I mean, I don't know what else to say about him. When you talk about, you want to talk about moments, and you want to talk about what this team has done. Lindor, the MVP. Lindor with the back issue. From moving to the cleanup spot and changing the team. From calling the meeting and changing the team. The home run against the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, what he's done here in carrying this team to this moment. And make no mistake about it. No one else is anywhere close to being the guy. Like, Nimmo had a hot streak. JD Martinez had a hot streak. The pitching has been remarkable since the middle of June. Maton's been great. Buto's been great. Diaz has had his moments. But Francisco Lindor is the number one reason you are celebrating today. Francisco Lindor is the number one reason the Mets are going to play Milwaukee later today. And we'll get to that series, 888-808-1019. But that home run that he clearly gets under and doesn't believe himself. Like, that's part of it, too. This home run wasn't a bomb. This wasn't the Nimmo, see ya, the second the ball hits the bat. That's a ball the broadcast thinks he got under. He thinks he gets under. And the ball goes into the air. And then they change the camera angle. And as soon as you see it change to the outfield, and you see the way Harris is tracking it, immediately you go from dejected that Lindor just missed it to that ball is carrying. And to watch that ball sail over that wall and rejuvenate what was going to be a devastating loss, and watching Lindor do what he does, I mean, it's just one of the most remarkable games, remarkable moments. It's crazy what the Mets have done. And listen, I know they're leaning into it about nobody expected them to do this and nobody expected them to do that. And from the day one, everyone counted us out. And that's what teams do. They rally around it. That's what good managers do. That's what good teammates do. You got to build on something. You got to find something. The fact of the matter is we can say that all day long. The fact of the matter is this team is good enough to be here. This team should have been here. This team should have never been 11 games under 500. Because I watched them now, all the different moves that the GM made, one-year contracts to the starting pitching, adding JD Martinez. You know how good the core of this team can be offensively and what it should have been. The addition of Vientos and how he exploded. Like, you look at this team now, they're dangerous heading into the postseason. And we could talk about whether or not they were counted out. I called them dead, whatever. The 11 games under 500, the beginning of the season, the great call from Gary, from 0-6, 0-5 to OMG, whatever you want to hold on to. The fact of the matter is, this team's good enough to be where they are. And no matter who counted them out or whatever else, look at them now. Look at how resilient they are. Look at how many good at-bats they put forth in this game. Look at how they were able to wipe the slate clean of the miserable play of Tuesday night and then Friday and Saturday. And instead of folding, and instead of allowing that moment from Diaz and the not covering first base and the basically clearing double from Albies, instead of allowing that moment to kill them and have you absolutely tight as a drum heading into that second game, they rally and it's their guy Lindor. It's a perfect story for a team who deserves every ounce of the excitement they've created from their fan base and every ounce of the optimism that I'm sure many of you are feeling heading into this wild card series. I mean, that is the craziest game and as good a baseball game as I've ever seen. And it happened in two innings. I mean, there's a million things to dissect. I typically don't go through every at-bat of a game. This is a little bit of a different open for me. I'm much more, especially when you come on at 2 o'clock in the morning, you kind of give the broad sense of things. You don't get into the particulars as much. That's the craziest freaking game I've ever seen. And there's so many different aspects and elements to talk about. From the way the game was managed, to pulling the closer from Atlanta, to going back to Diaz in the ninth inning, which is obviously an enormous part of this too, because now he's not the memory. And although he's probably not available for tonight's game, I wouldn't think. But him going back out there helps him get over it. Like, now you feel, if that would have been his final moment, would have been blowing that game and they went to Stanek, even if the Mets won that game. Now Diaz is a closer who just failed in the biggest possible moment. Instead, now he's a guy who battled back. Now he's part of the resilient Mets. Now he's somebody, you know, even when the chips are down, and even after he gives up a home run that might tie the game, you can count on him not folding. Now, I'm concerned about him in moments where it makes me nervous when I see a closer and back-end relievers fold after a misplay in the infield, whether it's their fault or not. That always makes me nervous. But him going back out there for the ninth and closing that game and getting Darno to get that ground ball, now you feel better about him moving forward. Like, there are so many different elements to this game that play into who they are, who they've been, and what they will be moving forward, and how they're set up moving forward starting later today in a wild card series against the Milwaukee Brewers, who I don't care how many times the Milwaukee Brewers beat them this year, that is not a perfect team. That is a team the Mets are right there with and have an opportunity to move on to the NLDS by getting through the Milwaukee Brewers. That is a series the Mets can win, and we'll find out 5:25 tonight, 888-808-1019. So, Mets fans, call me up. Let's talk about the particulars. Let's talk about how you're feeling. Let's talk about the craziness that was, without question, in my lifetime, the best Met regular season win of their history. I mean, this is a team. I was listening a little bit to Evan coming in, which, by the way, how great was it to watch? We can get into that, too. Watching that broadcast was unbelievable. I told you it was going to be fun. If I had any possibility of getting actual sleep so I could work, I would have been there to have fun with everybody. It looked like a great time. And to have that moment in that situation, it must have been freaking crazy to be here. But I was listening. Like, this is a Met franchise that in our lifetime, if you're 40 or younger, they've made the playoffs 7 times. In their history, they've made the playoffs 11 times. Like, this doesn't, unfortunately for the Mets, and hopefully moving forward it's going to be different with this new regime that we trust with owner and GM and or president of baseball operations. But this is a franchise that doesn't do this a lot. That game against that opponent in that circumstance, while nobody else was playing, to be being shut down like that through 7 innings, to rally back and score 6, have that blow up in your face, and then have your MVP come back with the biggest clutch home run that, you know, outside of the sentimental and just heroic nature of the Piazza 9/11 home run, like, I don't know if I can think of another home run in Mets regular season history that comes close. That is an enormous, enormous hit for this team, for that player, who now, I'm sorry, Met fans, the debate is over. Not that it wasn't already, but I don't care if he's 0 for 102 in May next year. That's it. This is your guy. This is the MVP of the team. This is the leader of this team. And this is a guy now who is above reproach That home run is historic. That home run puts him on a level of Met heroes where he is no longer up for debate. A great player in a great moment, in a great game, in a great set of circumstances, on a very good team with a possibility of doing some serious damage starting today.